Welcome to the Humane Roundup Podcast. What's going on? It's your host, Daniel Ettinger, and
Ashley Bishop.
Who?
Ashley Bishop.
You know, it's been a while since we've been on. It might not sound like it to our listeners, but we did take a little break, and it's nice to be back.
Yeah.
You're like,
for
yeah.
New year?
You're like, whatever. I don't know if it's good to be back or not.
No.
You know, good. This is the third year we've been recording this podcast. That's crazy to think about.
It is.
Yeah. Like, so thank
you. And hey, there's still people listening.
Thank you to the listeners. I want to thank our editor, Tim. I want to thank you, Bishop, for sticking with me for the last few years. I want to thank Hildy for getting this thing up and running, and to all our previous hosts and guests that we've had on this podcast. So it's really cool to continue to keep doing this thing.
Yeah.
Is that a double negative in a different way? Continue to keep doing?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not an English major. I deal with animals.
That's well. Sometimes when we write reports, it feels like we need to be English majors, but that's a whole other story.
Right.
How was your Christmas and New Year's?
Good. Busy, but also not. So I got to have the whole Christmas or winter break from school off with the kids. So that was cool.
That's good. Yeah.
So I had 11 days off and then came back to a shit show. So, I mean.
No way. What? I don't believe it.
Story you of know, our lives. How was
it's
yours?
It was good. I was on call a couple, like Christmas Eve and New Year's Day and stuff. It was quiet to say, like, for all, you know, everything being equal. And I'd love to hear from our listeners and some, like, do they operate normally on the holidays? Do they, you know, only do emergency calls? Like, it would be weird to, like, get a knock on the door on Christmas Day, like, hey, we got a report of a barking dog, you know? I think that would be just a little bizarre, but I guess to each their own, however agencies want to handle it.
See, and I'm not allowed to work holidays. They don't want to pay me to work holidays, but officers still take the calls when they come in. I mean, that's okay. Just what happens working for the police department.
When I get it, if it's an emergency, right? Like if it's a call, like let's say it's a serious bite call or an animal welfare concern, I certainly get that aspect of it, but.
Taking barking dog complaints. And
so they'll actually go out on Christmas Day for a dog barking?
Yep.
Come on. I don't know. What's your thought on that?
I think barking dog complaints are ridiculous to begin with. So
Fair answer. We have a cool show today for you. We have an animal control officer of the year from the state of Virginia. I'm excited to get them on here in a second. And then we're also going to get a update from NACA today too, so that'll be fun. Pretty good stuff that we got going on. And don't forget the pick of the litter later coming up.
Yes,
pick of the litter. That's my favorite part of the show now.
It is. So talking to me isn't.
I mean, you're great. You're great, but the pick of the litter is fun. I've been really enjoying that. So stick around for that, and don't forget to check us out on Facebook and Instagram. It's Humane Roundup there, and then h.o.bishop and Animal Protection Officer Daniel. Check us out there. Like, share, rate the podcast as well. All right, let's do
this. Share and rate us.
Let's bring in Adam Blankenship from the state of Virginia. Adam, welcome to the Humane Roundup podcast.
What's going on, guys?
You know, it's cold here. What's it like in Virginia?
Well, I woke up to a brisk 30 degrees, but we're expected to see it rise up to 60 degrees today.
Is that normal for where you're at? Does it stay pretty temperate in the wintertime?
Yeah, we come mid-January, February, it might stay where it never gets above 40 degrees. Like, we'll have a run of single digits up to 40. And, that's a little scary for some people around here.
I could imagine so, man. Absolutely. So just talk to me really quick, Adam, about, I just want to know a little bit about your background, how long you've been doing animal control work, and maybe, you know, what you did before that.
Okay. Yeah. Just one quick correction, because I know you said I was the animal control officer of the year. I don't want to take away from the person who actually won that. I won the community service award. So almost basically runners up to that. But it was just my ability to be in the community and reach out and the things that I offer. So just wanted to clarify that it's going to be the community service award. So,
well, in my eyes, sir, you're still an animal control officer of the year. Well, shows you how much I was paying attention that night, huh?
There was a lot going. There was a lot going on.
There was a lot.
So I'm originally from Lexington, Kentucky. Graduated from the University of Kentucky in 2008. I worked at a luxury dog hotel. This facility was 32,000 square feet of just nothing but dogs. Moved to Virginia Beach. Moved to Virginia Beach in 2011. Worked at PetSmart. Tried to climb the corporate ladder. Kind of realized that wasn't my jive. And my wife, of all people, saw that there was an animal control position available in a city here. And I applied and spent 4.5 years with them, and then had the opportunity to transition to another locality, and it's nothing but greener grass for me.
That's great, man. So in total, how many years you've been doing it?
Animal control, I've been doing this about 6.5, almost 7 years. I've been in the animal industry 14.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's pretty impressive. I'm sure it's probably kind of nice, too, that you got to bounce around. You got to see a little bit of every side of everything before you kind of locked in on this one.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the dog hotel, it allowed me to see how much money people are willing to spend on their animals to ensure that, you know, their animal is safe. And then working with PetSmart, you know, trying to educate new dog owners or animal owners, whether it's fish, small animals, cats, dogs, trying to educate them that way. But it is the retail world. You're also obligated to try to hold 18-year-old retail workers accountable to keep the business up and running. And that's a tough gig there. So with animal control, it gives me the ability to work on my own. I hold myself accountable. And at the same time, I do get to educate animal owners and try to educate them on laws for our area or just general questions they may have.
With your experience there in the doggy hotel and or PetSmart, that aspect of customer service is such a relatable thing in the field, right? Like you've carried that over into your day-to-day contacts, I would imagine.
Oh, 100%. You know, it allows me, I am kind of a class clown. I make jokes. Being in the retail world, you can kind of get to know customers and joke around with them. So then that makes me feel more comfortable as I'm talking to citizens in the field. You know, it really makes me capable of not being afraid to speak and talk to citizens, because sometimes it's tough to walk up to someone who could be going through some hard stuff, try to figure out what's the best angle to approach them.
I mean, you've been around, like I earlier said. What do you think are some of the ups and downs of this particular job? What makes you go home at night and go, oh man, I need to do something, or no, that felt really good?
So up front, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. So my downs are not going to be what some of my fellow animal control officers in other jurisdictions, that they just don't have the luxuries that my agency provides. So for me, my downs are going to be, you know, that this is a 365-day job. You're almost always on. So there's just, you know, you're working all the time and you get your days off, but it just doesn't seem like it's enough. As soon as you get a chance to wind down, then you're back in it. So that would be, for me, the downs that I think most officers end up feeling is, I just feel like I'm always on.
Mm-hmm. I can relate to that.
So then, you know, the upsides, you know, you have your cliche success stories. You know, that's why we're doing these jobs. You know, you're doing it for the animal. But for me, I've been lucky enough, like all the ups with both agencies that I've worked for. I love the unit I'm surrounded by. I love the staff that I'm surrounded by. And for the most part, it's just been, we all support each other and we have a end goal of helping the animal.
Absolutely. Can you talk a little bit about, I know, you know, we've interacted before. I met you and you have a page kind of dedicated to some of that stuff, to the profession. Do you want to talk about your Instagram?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, my Instagram is Skinny McDog Catcher, and that gets some people a little on edge. And for me, you know, if someone does call me a dog catcher out in the field, I don't necessarily let it offend me, but I do try to educate. Sure. It was an easy way for me to use the name, but get great photos, use my education skills, the knowledge of the field, and just try to present the dog catcher in a different light. So, you know, a lot of my family, their kids love to see the photos, the animals I take photos with. So that's kind of where I try to use my name as something kind of funny. People do understand it. They may not grasp what it means to someone in the field, but, you know, just a play on words. But I love posting photos. I try to keep my page strictly animals. I'll have some of my own personal stuff in there, but that kind of allows people to see that I am a real person.
What? No. People that do this job can't be real people. We have no hearts.
Right. Right.
And I think when you go back to the play on the name, it kind of takes the sting away from it if you can embrace it, right? So instead of letting it upset you, it's a term of endearment in some aspects, right? Like and that's one of the things that I realized too is excuse me, people don't like their vocabulary really may be like the dog catcher is the word for the animal control officer in their community. They don't have another word in their vocabulary, so it may not even be intentional to be something that they're, you know, being disrespectful for. More so it's just that's all they know, right? And so I sometimes look at it like that.
Yeah, and you know, some people, they'll come at you in the field or on the street, they'll have a greater expectation than what your role is capable of doing. And sometimes, you know, I'll send in a little jab where you say, oh, but I'm just a dog catcher at the end of the day, to get them to trigger their brain like, oh, not that I can't do something. It's like, well, this is a police matter, or this is a different type of matter. I can only do but so much, and I'll try to guide you, but it's in those those frustrating situations, if you know what I mean.
Definitely.
But both agencies that I've worked for, like currently I'm Animal Enforcement Unit, and
Did we just add another one?
I think we just added number 30 to the list. Animal Enforcement Unit. All right, cool.
So we're known as AEU on paper. Okay. And then my prior agency, we were Animal Protection Unit. So APU, AEU. The tattoos I got on my back. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh,
I had to scratch the P out and change it to an E.
Wow. All right. Well, that's a good segue into what changes, if you had a magic wand, what changes would you want to see locally in your area and or nationally?
You know, that's a tough question for me, just because it's like, I don't know. I just think that people need to reach out to other animal control officers, need to be able to reach out to other agencies to figure out what's it going to take to get our city to be behind us and give us the tools, give us the training. you know, I'm fortunate enough that I'm with an agency that, man, our supervisors have spent 10 plus years making us almost as valuable as the police department. You know, we're not Leos yet, but there's a time that it's going to come. So I just think as a whole, the animal control agencies, you just got to keep pushing to get the cities to back you, or whatever department you're with, or how you guys operate. You got to get the support, and you got to prove a need that it's not just, we just need one person roaming the streets collecting cats and dogs. We're past that these days. Y'all know we're street psychologists.
100%. 100%. Yeah, man. I think that on a large scale, and it's great that we have an update from NACA coming up here shortly, you know, on the podcast. And it's, you know, some of the stuff that they're working towards too, you know, whether it's standardizing some things, offering the training, giving position statements, whatever it is that they're doing, they're continuing to help advance the profession. And we need to all kind of get on board with that.
So, I agree.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about playing the pick of the litter? I don't know why I changed my voice for that.
Well, you become a game show host. So
yeah, I was going to say, you become an announcer.
Ladies and gentlemen, the pick of the litter brought to you by the Humane Educators of Texas. Check out humaneeducatorsoftexas.org, right? I better not mess that up or they'll fight me. They'll fly all the way up to Colorado and whip my butt.
I'm pretty sure they could win, too.
Wow, you hear that?
Those are some feisty girls.
I don't know. I think Tabitha is all talk. She would run away, truthfully. And then Kelly would probably just pull out a sidearm and shoot me on the spot. So
that's sounds like a challenge, ladies.
That's how I feel about it. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. They're great. And we're glad that they're supporting this game show, the pick of the litter. And so what that looks like, the pick of the litter is our fine show host, our game show host, Ashley Bishop, will read off some options for you. And you pick. Okay. You just pick. There's no criteria. You make the criteria. You can pick none. You can pick all. You can pick just one. You can add your own answer. It's fine and dandy.
You know.
All right.
Where you have all the options and the points don't matter.
It's just
gonna say that in a better game show voice.
And ladies and gentlemen, so I can be clear and correct, it is humaneeducatorsoftexas.com. Shots fired. humaneeducatorsoftexas.com. Not org. Throw the org out the window. And if I die, it's because of Kelly. Are you ready, Adam? You ready to play this fun game?
I'm ready.
All right.
All right, Bishop, take it away.
All right, Adam. First and foremost, truck, SUV, or a van?
Definitely going with the truck.
The truck. All right. Next is cat, dog, or other?
I'm going to have to go with dog. I'm a dog guy.
You're a dog guy?
I mean, I have a cat that I love.
But it's only that one cat, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll see a cute cat from afar, but that's as good as it gets.
Fair enough. Hip hop, country, or rock?
All of them.
Like it. Good answer.
Nonprofit, PD, or municipality?
PD. Gonna have to go with PD.
All right.
Bite or cruelty?
You know, we handle about 30 bites a week, so...
Holy buckets.
I love cruelties. That's where I get to hone in on my skills, so...
So...
Go ahead.
I want to pause the game here. You have 30 bites a week. Mm-hmm. What does your population look like that you serve?
Virginia Beach is about almost 500,000 people.
Okay.
And how many officers are there? Or animal enforcement.
So real quick, I did get the okay from the supervisor. Megan says hi. She told me to tell you.
Hey.
But with Virginia Beach Animal Control, we do have 22 officers and two supervisors with a dedicated lieutenant.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Wait. 22 officers. Yeah. 22. Mm-hmm. How many supervisors?
Two supervisors.
And a lieutenant.
Yes.
So you have 25 total.
Math is hard.
Wow. Yeah, for 500,000 people?
Well, you know, we are the tourist attraction. So in the summertime, our season, we have, you know, a couple extra, maybe a million coming through, maybe more than that. I don't know the full numbers on that. I know we were in the middle of the game, but that's where, again, for us, we do have a luxury of having a city that really does back animal control.
That's great. And the game is for us to have these conversations as well. So this is fantastic. Do all 22 officers do the same thing, or are there specialists?
We do the same thing. Now we do have an ACO-1. So that's a brand new officer up to 3 years. And then we have ACO-2 that's 3 years or more. You have to, you know, get certified. Well, not really certified. The department just has to accept that promotion.
Sure.
And that's going to come with collateral duties. So I am an ACO-2. I'm in charge of our supply and equipment. So if someone has supply issues, they're going to come to me. They can go to the supervisors as well. It's just the supervisors try to give tasks to take off their plate.
Sure.
Don't micromanage?
Correct. Nice. So again, I have it very nice at this in this city and with this unit. So the 22 officers, they handle the bites, they handle the cruelties. There's no one's doing anything different.
Got it.
There's the same. They may handle a case differently than me, but that's okay.
How many tourists, or I guess let's go percentage. What percentage of tourists versus locals do you guys think you deal with?
So that's where we run into, you know, we've got a huge beach and we are dog friendly in the sense that in between seasons, there's no leash law. You can have your dog running on the beach all you want. But in season, because of the influx of tourists, we don't allow dogs on the beach between the hours of 10 and 6 a.m. or 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. So because we've seen that our bites increase.
Sure.
And then it's harder to track these people down. It's harder to track their rabies down. And then also the sand, the sand reaches almost 145, 150 degrees at times.
Yeah.
And that's just too painful for dogs. So our in season, Memorial Day to Labor Day, or is it vice versa? I always forget that one. But Memorial Day to Labor Day, that's our beach season. That's when our beach laws go into effect. And that's when we see an increase in our tourist type of summonses.
You know how I remember that, Adam? Is Labor Day comes after, just like when a baby's about to be born. They're in labor.
Okay. And
yeah, that's how I remember it. My brain's kind of stupid, so I have to find little things in life.
Memorial Day is in May. They both start with an M.
Oh, that's a good trick there, too.
I like mine better, Bishop. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Mine makes more sense, Dan.
Yours makes much more sense. All right, let's get back to this game show, and we'll have some more questions as we go through.
Okay.
All right, so body armor, or are you naked?
Wow.
I'm sorry, Dan, you said it first, and I'm just rolling with it now. So body armor or no body armor?
I like my body armor.
Okay.
I like my body armor.
Barking or stray?
Stray all day.
Yeah.
I hate barking.
Stray complaints. All day. That could be a shirt.
Yeah, that might be our next thing we need to do.
That should be.
Seriously.
Cell phone or radio?
Are we saying like radio, like communicate, like for our truck?
Yeah.
I might have to go with my radio because I try to get the dispatcher to laugh every once in a while. So you know, when they call for that snake in the middle of the road and it ends up being a garden hose or something.
Yep. Been there, done that. Or, you know, you have a goat call and you tell them that it's back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, that speaking of goat, that's when I was with my last agency, that's kind of how I went viral at first, was this, if you Google Norfolk Animal Control Officer, it's going to usually pull up a photo of me holding a goat and we're laughing at the same time.
Doing
and,
that right
now. Fantastic.
And it made it to CNN, Fox News, made it over to Iceland. It was kind of wild.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. I'm
looking it up right now. Images.
Yeah.
Well, there it is. There it is. You guys look like twins, actually. Twinning. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Dude, that's awesome.
Zoom or in person?
In person. I got to get a feel for somebody.
All right. Here's a tough one. I feel like people get stuck on this one a little bit. Skunk or DOA?
You said skunk or DOA?
Yeah.
I'm definitely rushing to a skunk call because we don't have skunks around here.
Oh,
interesting.
Okay.
But well, we do get them. They don't typically reside in Virginia Beach.
They catch a train in. They're like, I'm going to come to the beach for the weekend.
Yeah. Our coyote and fox population here is what keeps that away. Keeps that down them.
All right. I'm a little jealous. I mean, granted, I don't deal with skunks, but that smell. All right. Last one. Catch pole, snappy snare, or a lariat?
I'm jealous of all the guys that get to do the lariat. I really am. And I keep telling myself it's something I want to do. So I'm going to go with a catch pole. I know some people can look bad, but I've done some miraculous things with a catch pole when it comes to being in the field.
It's a good tool. If used in the proper way, it's definitely a good tool. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for playing Pick of the Litter. Again, brought to you by the Humane Educators of Texas, humaneeducatorsoftexas.com. Check them out on your website provider, whatever that thing is called. Adam, this has been great, man. We really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. I feel like there was something you had for us that I forgot to ask you.
I mean, I was going to talk about maybe some stats or maybe just throw in, you know, what it's like to transition from a unit that almost it felt like you didn't have much to a unit that. But if there's not enough time for it, it's OK. We can maybe regroup on another podcast.
I'd be happy to. No, go ahead, man. We have a little bit of time and then we'll get Jerrica Owen with NACA on here and give a quick update with what's going on there.
Like I said, I came from another agency and we went from, you know, there was six officers and a supervisor running two shifts, 10-hour days, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. You were on call 7 p.m. to 9 a.m., which is, for me, that's a long time to be on call. A lot of things still happen after 7 p.m. And just had the basic tools. You know, we didn't even have a vest, but, you know, we had the option to ask for one. And then transitioning to Virginia Beach, where, you know, the population is bigger, but there's two shifts per day. So you got a A shift and a B shift. We operate 7 a.m. to 11:30 at night. You're on call 12 a.m. to 7 in the morning. And again, I like I said before, we have two supervisors that, man, they give their all to make sure their officers are taken care of. And the training that we have. Have you guys heard of Justice Clearinghouse with the animal control stuff?
That would be a great segue. Yeah, we have. And I know Jerrica can probably talk to some of that as well. They have some great trainings on there. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done a couple so far to keep my CEUs up. And, you know, just all the different type of avenues this unit, they're really pushing for us to get great training.
Awesome, man.
I wish we could hear that more often. It sounds like you've got a lot of support and you talked about it earlier, that being your want for everybody. to be able to have that support, whether it be by your community or your jurisdiction in general. So, I mean, I don't have it horrible here, but I'm jealous. I'm jealous a little bit.
But, yeah. And so I feel like some people are going to think I'm bragging, but I don't want it to come off that way. Really is a supervisors who have really tried to pave the way within this unit and the unit as a whole working together to show a need for what we do.
I think it needs to be known out there that it is possible. So I don't think what you're saying is bragging at all. I think our listeners should look at it as, hey, if they can do it, can we reach out to them and figure out, okay, how did you do it? You know, we need to
support each other. Actually, you bring up such a good point, and that's part of the reason we do this show is because, you know, you can, what you're saying, Adam, in Virginia may reach somebody in Washington state, right? Like across the country. And that's our goal. And it's really to try to connect that and give people ideas. Like when I hear you say there's 22 officers plus 3 supervisors for a population of 500,000, you know, I'm sure there's listeners that are like, whoa, wait a second. My jurisdiction's larger and we have less officers. How do we find that model and kind of duplicate that so we have the staff? Because I would imagine, you know, meeting your team last year, you know, you seem like you have a good group, and I mean, 22 personalities is a lot to manage, but having that many people also tends to lessen that burnout because you have more, you know, just more bodies able to take calls and handle things. So it's less, in a sense, less work than it is in a jurisdiction that may be larger and have a smaller staff, right?
Right. And, you know, having those 22 officers, we've got people that they have their expertise. And so it allows them to get more responsibilities for maybe that realm, you know, because we deal with, in Virginia Beach, we deal with livestock, we deal with horses, we deal with not marine life, but, you know, marine animals, or like seagulls and other type of pelicans, deer. We run the full gamut of all the animals here, and you got to have some people that have expertise because some people are just more comfortable handling that. And so it allows us to take the burden off of someone else who's like, I don't really want to deal with that situation because it's stressful.
Absolutely. Well, Adam, this has been awesome. Please hang out. We're going to introduce Jerrica with NACA here in just a second. I just want to make sure people check out your Instagram, Skinny Mick Dog Catcher. Is that on Facebook too, or just Instagram?
Just Instagram.
All right, check that out. Skinny Mick Dog Catcher on IG. Follow, like that stuff that he has going on there. And Adam, hang out. We're going to get Jerrica on here, and
awesome.
Definitely was great having you on today, and thanks for taking the time out and playing pick of the litter as well.
Yes, I appreciate it and look forward to maybe doing some more podcasts together.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well,
all right.
Thanks, bud. Jerrica, it is your turn to shine and give some updates from NACA.
Good morning. How are you guys? Yeah, I'm also chilly, but I can't complain. Nothing compared to the rest of the
chilly
country
in California.
Yeah, please do tell.
Right. I know. I feel awful. Oh. You know, like in the 50s, really.
I'm
60
degrees
chilly.
Colder than you right now.
I cannot. I feel for you. I've got a blanket, a heater. I'm literally freezing, and it's like sunny outside. So I'm awful. Oh.
Well, thanks for hanging. I know you were listening to some of the show, and it's really nice to have you back and just get a quick update on NACA. So we'd love to hear what's going on in the new year.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me back. So, NACA celebrated some really tremendous growth and progress. It's just been an amazing year. You know, I'm pleased to say that even with all of the challenges of the pandemic, NACA has experienced, you know, just amazing growth, the impact of the past, and we're just really looking forward to a successful 2022. So all of our members, all of our partners, everyone has just stepped up in incredible ways, supporting each other, you know, sharing programmatic successes and really providing that sense of stable community. So it's been a really, really awesome year. I have a couple of updates. We've got some really exciting things in regards to training. I know that Adam was just talking about the importance of training. And I am pleased to say that in 2021, we had over 1,000 graduates from ACO 1 and 2. So that's a combined number. That's awesome, right? I'm really excited. We also had, in regards to those Justice Clearinghouse webinars he was talking about, we had 32 in 2021, and we've already got a huge lineup for 2022. In 2021, it was 1,429 hours of live educational content and then 1,500 hours of recorded educational content. And that's just what NACA members viewed. So it's over, I think it's in the hundreds of thousands of actual hours available of content, but just for NACA members, it was in the 1,500 hour range. So fantastic. We also have two new certification courses that are released from Justice Clearinghouse. The first one is ACO for the LEO. So that's animal control for the law enforcement officer. It's a certification course, very similar to ACO 1 and ACO 2. So it's geared towards law enforcement officers, not for animal control officers. So an animal control officer, if they've already taken ACO 1 and or ACO 2, they don't, an ACO for LEO certification would be mostly a duplicate. So this one is really geared for those law enforcement officers that may help support or assist some animal control duties. So that's really exciting. That's launching. And the second certification course is a shorter course. It's sort of a skill builder, and it's called Winning an Animal Welfare Case. NACA members do get a 20% discount on that certification course. So I strongly, go check it out on Justice Clearinghouse website or the NACA website. It just launched, I think, last week, and it has already been really successful. So really looking forward to that. And then two more quick things on training. We're working with Maddie's Fund University, and we're creating a course. This one will be free. It's going to be launching somewhere, I would say, we're hoping for, maybe early summer or fall. It just sort of depends. But essentially, it's a four-part course. Starts with sort of the history and foundation of the animal control and field services, moves into the evolution of the role, will include some of the innovative programming, the community outreach and services that I think Adam had mentioned. And then it's going to also include videos on standard equipment and use of standard equipment. That's one of the things that when I came on board, I was surprised to find that there just really doesn't exist videos, right? It's just a standard set of videos on how to use a catch pole or a control pole or a leash pole. Or a snappy snare. There's no
phenomenal.
There aren't, videos. So part of this includes that. So I'm really thrilled about that. And then finally, ACO3. So we are working on a collaboration with the University of Florida. This ACO3 will be a hybrid. It'll be in person and online. It'll have components of both. And it's going to be, so University of Florida has a forensics program, animal forensics. Really excited about that. So we're sort of just in the early stages of that, but we anticipate that launching in 2022.
Jerick, I have a real quick question about those videos. Will they be the usage of the tools? Will those be standalone that we can use? I have a whole 3 hours with officers when I'm training a new officer. Will we be able to use those and just be like, here's a quick, how you use a catch pole.
Yeah. So they will live in the Maddie's course, but the course is going to be free. So, any new officers, it could be something that you assign your team to take. And I'm not sure sort of if we'll also have them. We kind of talked about maybe having like a NACA YouTube page where we can access these videos. So it kind of just depends on sort of where they live. But they absolutely, to answer your question, yes, you will be able to access them. For training your team.
That's great stuff. It sounds like there's a lot going on the NACA front, which is really good to hear. And I know that was the goal when you came on, and there's been some transitions. So thank you for kind of keeping us up to date with that type of stuff. Check out NACANet.org, NACANet.org, and you're also on Facebook. Is NACA, they have an Instagram too, right? Yeah.
We do. Yep. It's working on trying to make it, you know, more more robust. That's one of the other things that we have for 2022 as well, as a really clearly defined like communication strategy. So with only one staff member, you know, our board members are amazing. Our members are amazing. So that's one of the things that we have established as well as some pretty strategic and clear direction for 2022 and goal planning and stuff like that. And the communications, marketing, Instagram, Facebook, all of that stuff. Our magazine as well. So yeah, lots of good stuff to be coming. And the last thing I want to mention is partnerships. So something that will be launched probably by the time this airs is we are doing a partnership with Shelter Animals Count. So we are creating a NACA coalition on the Shelter Animals Count website. More stuff to be shared on that on our Facebook. But we really want as many agencies to join our coalition as possible. It's a way for us to, right now, Shelter Animals Count is mainly intake and outcome data, but Shelter Animals Count is a great partner of ours, and we're looking forward to exploring national data collection for field services and animal control.
Right now, it doesn't exist, right? So there's nowhere.
Nope.
I have two things for you before we go. One, I recently saw a post that NACA is looking for volunteers. If you're going to any of your conferences in your state or any other state, they're looking for someone to represent NACA. Is that right? I just saw a post on that. Yeah.
Yes. So we did post it when we sent an email maybe four or five months ago. We included in each of our monthly newsletters as well. We would like, so NACA can't, we won't be having our own conference in 2022. It just isn't, you know, conferences are fabulous, but they also cost a lot of money, and they're generally not money makers. You're lucky to break even most often. So while we can't have our own conference, we plan on, you know, being either supporting somehow or being available as speakers or presenters or sponsoring different tracks. But we can't be everywhere all the time by ourselves. And so what we'd love to do is have NACA members who are attending those conferences help us out by maybe manning our booth or, you know, distributing some flyers for us. So really kind of be the face of NACA at those conferences and really help us out. So if you're interested, the information is on our website. It's also on our Facebook. We have a link where you can add your name, your phone number, your email, and what conference you're attending. And once we get that submitted, we'll reach back out and let you know what our needs are. If we're attending that conference, what the needs are. So thank you for mentioning that. Yes.
And last thing, can you just talk about membership? How do I become a member? If I become a member today, does it expire on January 9th of 2023, or is it just go through the end of the year?
Great question. So we right now have 1,891 active members. And I can tell you, I only have able to access data going back, I think, 9 to 10 years. That's the highest number it's ever been that I can see. So I'm super excited about that. Our goal for membership for 2022 is 2022. So I know we will get there. I'm super excited. You know, membership is, yeah, so it's an annual membership. It's only $25. And some of the things that members receive, you get, we have, you know, dedicated newsletters. We have a dashboard for members that allows them to access their, a calendar of events. They get different discounts on certain things. We recently just repartnered up with Tomahawk. And so NACA members will be getting discounts on equipment. We also have discounts on the Justice Clearinghouse training that I had mentioned. There's also other equipment memberships on there. I'm sorry, other equipment discounts for members. And one of the things that we're really excited about is we're reworking the resources page. So there are so many resources. And if you just look at those, you know, social media pages, you see people asking for SOPs on, you know, various different things, or asking for sample ordinances for barking dogs, or, you know, any of the things that they need. And so really reworking the resources page to be a resource and to be able to find things that that officers need. So that's coming down the line pretty soon. That will be relaunched. So yeah, so please join. We hope to see you. And
thank you for taking the time to chat and discuss all the fun stuff that's going on with NACA. We really appreciate it. And I know we're going to get you back on here in a little bit to talk about some other exciting news as well. And we definitely appreciate your time.
Yep. Cool. Thank you. You guys have a
good absolutely. Before we let you go, Adam, did you have anything for NACA? I know you've been on and just wanted to make sure, you know, if you had anything that you could go ahead and ask Jerrica.
No, I don't have anything to ask. I think I need to dive more into it. Even though I've been in the animal control field for almost 6.5 years, I just haven't gotten into that realm. I need to look into it.
Oh, man. Well, thank you.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. And let me know if you have any questions. You're always welcome
to reach out. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks.
Congrats on your officer.
Yes,
well, thank you. His newly appointed officer of the year. Maybe for 2022, bro. I don't know.
Yes.
Community.
My bad. Well, thanks all both of you. Thank you, Bishop. And we really appreciate everybody's, you know, contributions to this. So thank you so much for your time today.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Well, as always on the Humane Roundup podcast, we like to thank you for listening and keep it
humane,
Maine. Where you at, Bishop? That was the worst one yet.
I don't think so. Tim will fix it. It'll be fine.